And we're going to start this summer studying Psalm 119. Let's pray and we'll start talking about this. Lord, we're grateful for the Bible, Scriptures, Your Word. Grateful for what You've provided for us in Your Word. And as we today begin this study through this wonderful individual psalm, we would ask for Your blessing upon it. And in many ways, even as we see it tonight, there's this blessing associated with reading and taking heed to Your Word, applying Your Word, living by Your Word, living by the direction of Your Word. We're blessed in obedience. So we ask for Your blessing on this evening in particular. Again, in faith, trusting that's exactly what will happen because it's Your Word. And this summer, as we work through all 176 verses of this great and important psalm, would You really help us, not just on Wednesday evenings, but help us to grow in our love and appreciation for what it is You've given us in the Bible. So I'm going to ask, kind of, Lord, in faith, that us as a congregation and Wednesday night people, I suppose, in particular, that we would really just grow, mature, develop, be strengthened in our Christian walk all the more fully because of this time. We're setting aside, really, this entire summer for this. We're excited about that. Excited that we can live for You, Jesus. And in these days in which we find ourselves and the craziness doesn't seem to even fit anymore. It's beyond that. But You are still God. You are still good, and You are still good at what You do. So we entrust our lives, our hearts, our minds, our study, and even personally, individually, as we take time and read through this psalm this summer. Change us. We ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 119, go ahead and turn there. I'm going to spend a big chunk of our evening just kind of giving an intro, partially because I like to do that with different books of the Bible, and I think Psalm 119 is so unique that it's really kind of worth an extra, 10, 15, 20 extra minutes to kind of talk about it. So we'll eventually get to verse 1, but just want to mention a few things about it. I'm some kind of genius because I was able to figure out that Psalm 118 is sandwiched by Psalm 117 and Psalm 119. Thank you very much. I figured that out all by myself. Yeah, you're really impressed at this point. But I think you know this, Psalm 119, all 176 verses of it, not only is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, it's technically, if you want to, psalms aren't chapters, it's not Psalm chapter 119, it's its own individual psalm. So, in terms of chapters, though, it would be the longest chapter in the Bible, and of course, Psalm 117 is the shortest. It's two verses. And that's significant that you have the shortest and then the longest, and in between those is Psalm 118, and I'll encourage you to dig into Psalm 118 because it is one of the more rich chapters, especially in the Psalms, concerning Messiah. It's one of those critical Psalms that you need to know, and that would be a wonderful study unto itself. And now that I've kind of whet your appetite for Psalm 118, tough, study it on your own. We're not doing it tonight. So, Psalm 119, nearly all of the 176 verses provide some kind of reference to God's Word. We're going to spend some time dissecting that in just a little bit here. But it's a weird thing, isn't it? So this is a chapter, kind of technically, of the Bible that talks about the Bible? Correct. I think what's significant about that, you're here in Psalm 119, so you're not too far removed. Hold your place there and just flip over to Psalm 138 for just a moment, or put this in your notes and you can read it later. Psalm 138 is a psalm of David, and it starts this way. I will praise You with my whole heart. before the gods or the Elohim, I will sing praises to you. Verse 2 of Psalm 138. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. And then David says this, for you, speaking about and speaking to the Lord, have magnified your word above what? Above all your name. That's huge. Because if you've ever done any kind of study on the names of God, you know that the names of God are representative of His characteristics, or they tell us something about who He is. Think about the great name of God, El Olam, God Everlasting. It's not just a kind of a catchy name, though that's not all that catchy, but El Olam, it tells us about Him, its characteristics of who He is. And David comes along, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and says, God, you have magnified your word above even your name. Well, it's just a book. It is anything but just a book. So again, Psalm 119 kind of seems odd that, okay, seriously, it's a psalm in the Bible, 176 verses, almost all of them are referencing, are discussing something about the Bible. And that's important. And this is, again, why I think it's really worth the time this summer. And I trust that so much of our summer, and we're going to have different guys here at the church that are going to be teaching these different sections throughout the summer, I trust that there'll be some side passages and some side studies about the importance and the benefit of consuming God's Word. Am I just using that word off the cuff? Consuming? No. Consuming? Yes, consuming God's Word. This is Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah 15, 16, the prophet says, your words were found, and I ate them. Obviously, he didn't get it because it wasn't a book. It was a scroll at that point. He didn't start munching on the papyrus, right? He went on to say, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts, Yahweh Elohim of hosts. I consumed it. In terms of word pictures, like we just coming off a potluck, so I'm going to keep an eye on everybody who's at the potluck. If you fall asleep, look, I can't blame you. But like, I'm ready to fall asleep. Like, you consume, it's the sustenance that sustains you. Think about, it's not quite apples and oranges, but think about Jesus. I am the what of life? The bread. That thing that you consume that sustains you. Jeremiah would say, no, I consumed your word. And that's a whole other side study as well. There's kind of glimpses of revelation in there with that too. So again, with this concept of Psalm 119 being about the word, revolving around the word, nearly every verse of this psalm is about God's word. So let's do a quick skim of this, and it'll occupy about the first 9 verses of this, because there's different words to talk about the scriptures. You're not going to, you're not going to find the word scriptures in here, but maybe your different translations might render some of these words that way. The first one, notice verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the what? The law of the Lord. So you're going to find that, the word law, throughout these 176 verses. Notice verse 2. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies. It's another reference, and it's a different Hebrew word entirely, for the Word of God. Verse 3 says, they also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Does anyone have a different translation for verse 3 that doesn't say His ways? You're all New King James people. So is His ways concerning the Word? Not exactly, but how do we discover His ways? Through His Word. Notice verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts, and of course to do so diligently. Precepts, it's a different kind of form of the Word. And maybe, and I'll just kind of throw it out for the guys a little bit, maybe one of the guys this summer will highlight the differences between precepts and commands and whatnot. So first come, first serve. Whoever wants to get after that, you're welcome to it. Notice verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Not statues, statutes. Verse 6 says, then I would not be ashamed when I looked into all your commandments. Verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Skip verse 8 because it says statutes. We've already seen that. Verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And we'll find this along the way, but there's actually two separate Hebrew words, and again, at least in the New King James Version, two separate Hebrew words that are translated into the one word in the English language. So there's two different Hebrew words translated as word in English. And so each of these eight words, law, word, precepts, etc., they're all used roughly 20 times in Psalm 119. So there's a fairly even distribution of these words. I think one of them is used about 25 times, and the one that's used the fewest amount of times would be like 19 times. So roughly 20 times for each of these eight different Hebrew words kind of scattered throughout Psalm 119. Still by way of introduction, you should of course notice the Hebrew characters at the introduction of every eight-verse section. Notice right there in verse 1, Aleph. And we'll come back to this in just a moment. I'm going to give you just kind of a quick side study in the Psalms in general here, because I think this is really important. You'll notice that Aleph there is not italicized. If you have a Bible that says something like mine does, Psalm 119, mine says this: Meditations on the Excellence of the Word of God. Does anyone have like a title under Psalm 119? I'm not a crazy person. My Bible's not the only one. And it's italicized, yes? The reason it's italicized is because it's not in the original language. It's not in the original text. It's just provided for us by the publisher so that, okay, I'm about to read this long psalm. What's the general theme of the psalm? I mean, if you can back it up to Psalm 118 for a moment. Mine says, and this is Thomas Nelson. No, this is not. Holman Publishers is the publisher for this particular Bible that I have. Psalm 118 says, praise to God for His everlasting mercy. That's just the publishers giving us that to help. It's italicized because it's not in the text. So how about this? Let's look at a couple of these. Actually, I want to look at several of them just so you can get a sense of how this works. Back it up a few psalms to Psalm 110. And does everyone have that, like a title somewhere? Not everyone does. And it's fine if you don't. If you don't, it's perfectly fine. That's just the publisher saying this is what we think this particular psalm is referencing. Notice, though, Psalm 110, no matter what your Bible says in terms of a title, it will say a Psalm of David. 100% of us have that in our Bible right there in Psalm 110. Why? You'll notice it's not italicized. Why? It's part of the original language. That is part of Psalm 110, a Psalm of David. In fact, I mean, Tabitha will remember this, like when we were in Hungary, the Hungarian Bible, for some of these psalms that have a title built into it, non-italicized, it's part of the original language. They would put that as, you know, Psalm 110, verse 1, a Psalm of David. So we say, okay, yeah, it's Psalm 110, verse 2. Like, wait, the English verse 2 or the Hungarian verse 2, which would really be verse 3 if my math's keeping up with me, kind of thing. So it's not italicized. It's part of the original language. Back it up to Psalm 109, a little more detail. This is to the chief musician, and it is a Psalm of David. We all have that because it's part of the original language. Psalm 108, it's a song, and it's a Psalm of David. And maybe this, I'm a geek and I'm really interested in this, but it's worth our time. Thank you for humoring me here a little bit. Back it up to Psalm 90. I want to make sure we understand how this works. Things that are in italics in the scriptures are not in the original language. Psalm 90, the publisher here for me says, the eternity of God and man's frailty. In italics, it's not in the original text. What is in the original text, is this a song? No, it's not. It's a prayer. Is it Davidic? No. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Wow, so this is a very early psalm built into this book. Oh, you're right there in Psalm 90. How about 92? This is a psalm, which would be different than a song or different than a prayer. It's a song for the Sabbath day. So can we sing that on Monday? Please don't. Right? It's a specific psalm for that particular day of the week. I'll back it up a few more psalms. Psalm 82. You guys all have it. It's a psalm of who? Asaph. Psalm 82, Asaph. 85. This is to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Different psalmists here. Psalm 86. It's a prayer of David. I skipped 84, didn't I? Psalm 84. How about this? This is the title. It's to the chief musician. It's on an instrument of Gath. It's a psalm of the sons of Korah. In the original text, that's how this was to be played. This was the instrumentation, etc. And then if you really want to dig into these, you hear this mentioned every so often as you're making your way back to Psalm 119. When you get to Psalm 120, and it's something like the next 15, maybe 20 psalms, these are songs of ascent. And as the people of God would be on their pilgrimages throughout the different seasons of the year, the different holidays, to go always up. Even if you lived in the north, it's always up to Jerusalem. And these songs of ascent, these were the songs that they would sing as they were approaching Jerusalem. So, interesting. I just think it's worth the mention there, because we tend to think that, like, all the psalms were written by David. They weren't. Back to Psalm 119 here, what do we have? Nothing. It's an unnamed psalm. We don't know who wrote it. Is that significant? Not really, not to me. One of the psalmists wrote it. So back to this, what is there is what? Aleph. So Psalm 119 is cool in its own right, in that it's an acrostic. It's an acrostic psalm. It's an acrostic portion of Scripture. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 8-verse sections of Psalm 119. I mean, skip down to verse 9. What do you have? Beth or Bet. And verse 17, Gimel. 25 is Dalet. Verse 33 starts with He. So it's an acrostic, and so every 8-verse section starts with a different Hebrew character, and each section corresponds to that Hebrew character. In fact, each line of each section begins with that letter. So you might think, okay, well, that's Aleph, and this is blessed, and then who walk, and then blessed, they also, you. It doesn't translate into English necessarily, and you can dig into that if you want and see how that would correspond. But this is pretty great. It works out for us because there are 8-verse sections, and we're doing 2 a week, and that works out to be 11 weeks. So we're really occupying the entire summer with this. So still some introductory things, and I'm throwing this your way based on an assumption. And thank you for letting me make an assumption, Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks Wednesday night people, about what I hope that you do this summer. I hope you spend time reading Psalm 119 on your own. Like, all right, 16 verses this Wednesday night. I'm going to say, please don't do that. Please read it on your own. Like, I think when we first moved here, Christy kind of, I got in trouble with her a little bit. Like, Jeremy, you can't assign people homework on Sunday mornings. I'm not assigning you homework, but I'm strongly suggesting spend time in this particular psalm. I'm saying this in this part where I'm assuming this because there's actually some themes and some key words to note as you study this on your own this summer. How about this for kind of a twin theme that you're going to find? You're going to find, teach me teach me throughout these 176 verses throughout your reading this summer. You're going to see that, not constantly, not all the time, but you'll take notice of it. So teach me, or this one's great, give me understanding. I like that. And you'll often find this phrase, give me understanding, connected with either the word and or that. In fact, we're right here, and I told you we're going to do a little introduction before we even get to verse 1, but skip to verse 34 for a second. The psalmist, unnamed, says, give me understanding, what? And I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So what's the point? What's the point of him saying, please, Lord, may I have some understanding? What? That I might keep it. That I might obey, that I might submit to your word. Skip down to verse 73. I'll just do a few of these so you can see this. 73 says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. Again, and or that. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. I like that. And you'll find this in your own Bible reading. Very oftentimes, that particular word, that, is going to tell you the point of it, the purpose behind it, so that I might, in order to this. I'm asking for this because I want this. There's a point, there's a purpose behind it. Three more. Verse 125. Same concept. I am your servant. Give me understanding. What? That I may know your testimonies. Verse 144. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Notice the and there, the connection point to his request for understanding. And the last one for this particular kind of mini theme, Psalm 119, verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. It's not an and or that statement, but it's specific. Not just general understanding, but I need understanding according to your word. So, again, be on the lookout for that as a mini theme throughout this psalm. Now, we won't turn to any of these. I'll just throw this out there for you. You're going to find this 8 times, at least in the New King James, this little phrase, I delight in your word, your testimony, your precepts, your statutes, your word. I delight in. And you'll also find this just one time, at least again in the New King James, I rejoice in. I think in that particular instance, I rejoice in your law. And you guys have been here Wednesday night, people. When we started working through Exodus and Leviticus, we were like, man, I rejoice in the law of God. Like, there's some tough stuff in there, but the psalm is like, I rejoice in it. Do you ever find that just in your own personal reading? When the Lord really speaks to you, like, I want the Lord to speak to me. Consume it. Start consuming it, and you'll find He speaks all the time. And there's just something about hearing from the Lord by His Spirit through His Word. And like, I rejoice in this. Another mini theme that you'll find the phrase hope in, or hoped past tense, I hoped in your word, I hoped in your commandments. You'll also find the phrase, I trust in your precepts, I trust in your testimonies. And I like that because, again, what you're going to discover as you're reading this is all these things pertain to both our heart and our mind. Both our heart and our mind is involved or are involved with what God is doing by way of His Word. And all of this, again, connected to His Word, all 176 verses except for a couple of them, impacted by what it does to us. And then the recognition of what, therefore, I need to do because of it. Our minds are involved. Again, I touched on this just a few moments ago, this concept of that. That I might fill in the blank. It's application, right? And some of you guys have taken a How to Study Your Bible course, and when we go to New Zealand in just a couple of weeks, I get to teach a How to Study Your Bible course there. And that's one of the things I'm going to hit. I'm not going to spend like an hour on it, but just this concept of look for those simple little words like that. that, so that, because, in order to. There's purpose behind it. In other words, when you're studying your Bible, I hope you know like kind of the three basic steps. There's observation. What does it say? Not what do you want it to say. Not what do you think it says. Not what does your tradition tell you that it says. Like, well, when I was a kid, we learned this. I don't care, no offense to you or myself or anyone. Like, what does it actually say? Just observation, just the facts. And then the interpretation part is this. Okay, I see what it says, but what does that mean? And you're starting to ask some of those types of questions. And then ultimately, the goal of it is the application. And I don't want this to sound flippant, but it's almost, okay, what does it say? What does it mean? And so what? In other words, what am I going to do about it? And you're going to find that kind of characteristic of Psalm 119, that I might keep, that I might take heed to, that I might live by, that I might abide by your word. In fact, you should notice that word throughout your study of Psalm 119. Keep. Keep. That I might keep. Abide by it. Live by it. Live according to it. And this involves a word that maybe we don't like very much, and in particular, we don't like this word in our culture, submit. That we would submit to God's word. Like, wait a minute, you people are you're governed by a book? We're governed by the God of the book, but it's his book, so yes. We obey it. And you're going to find this in the New King James, 25 times you're going to find that word keep. Which maybe isn't that's significant, but 25 times out of 176 verses, that's a common enough theme. You're also going to note verses like Psalm 119, verse 167. Sorry, turn all the way to the end of the psalm there again. I'm not sorry. Making you turn like two whole pages is terrible. Here's one of those uses, and that I mentioned keep 25 times, but you're also going to find keeps, where he says, my soul keeps your testimonies and I love them. Not just love them, I love them exceedingly. You're going to find that word love throughout Psalm 119. And this is kind of the tough from the pulpit pair of application questions. Number one, do you find that to be true for yourself? Do you love God's word? I hope that, you know, through your time this summer, just on your own, you'll find yourself, man, I really do love God's word. And I appreciate further, again, all the way back to the end of the top of these sub-themes, that the psalmist would say, teach me, give me understanding. What is the expression there? It's, I don't know it all. There's some humility in that. And this is the psalmist, the author of this particular psalm. Like, Lord, can you teach me? Can you give me some understanding? Because if you're inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this, I don't get it all, so can you please help me? Oh, so you are in good company if you're reading this. What does that mean? Welcome to the club, right? And that's why we do what we do. We study it because we don't know everything. If you did, you know what you'd never pray? You'd never pray, give me understanding. You'd say, got it. Don't need your help. Teach me? Psh, I'm going to teach everybody else. So it's this recognition that I not just need help, but I need his help. So as you do so, again, do you find that you love his word? I think the more time you spend in it, the more you will love it. And then, kind of as a practical challenge, can you find the roughly 10 other places in Psalm 119 that the word love is used? So yes, I am giving you some homework, and I don't even feel bad about it. Read through it, see if you can just find those. What's neat for me is, like, if you just kind of read it at a slow pace, disregard the fact that it's 176 verses. Just take it as it's given to us, little 8-verse chunks. Do little 8-verse chunks here and there, and just kind of take heed, apply some mental observation to what it is you're reading. What else? Last two little themes, and then we'll actually dig into the first 16 verses. Find, while you're reading Psalm 119, the word meditate. The word meditate. And to meditate means to think. We'll talk about this more in just a few moments as we actually get into it. But to think about it. It's used, the word meditate, again, in the New King James is used 5 times. And just read it slowly, you'll find it. And then the last just kind of sub-theme that you'll find regularly enough throughout Psalm 119, you'll find it 9 times, this little phrase, revive me. I got to tell you, this is my favorite little phrase in Psalm 119. And I don't remember how old I was in the Lord when I first noticed it, but I was reading, you know, my own personal through the Bible reading. I wasn't even like diligently studying. I wasn't even studying. I was just reading it. Like, revive me. Like, oh, that's interesting. I could have sworn I just read that a few verses earlier and went back, yeah, I did. And I noticed it, and then a few verses later, well, there it is again, you little scoundrel. It's like, you're just scattered throughout here. Revive me 9 times. In fact, notice verse 25. How about this? My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Do you need some personal revival? You need the word. Do you feel like your soul is clinging to the dust? What an emotional statement that is. If you're a King James person, it will likely say, quicken me. Quicken me. Is it an old Western kind of the quick and the dead? Like the living and the dead. Quicken me. Bring some life to me. If you're an NIV person, it'll say, preserve my life. If you're an English Standard Version person, it should just say, give me life. But most of our translations will actually render this, revive me. So I gave you the first one. There's 8 other places that you're going to find, revive me. And I love that it's stated that way. So my apologies for whoever. Jake, is this you in a couple weeks? I'm already digging into what you're going to be teaching. So sorry. I'm not even sorry. Thank you. So there you go. There's a little foretaste for 2 weeks. You guys also remember that next week there's no study because of EBS. Good. All right, verse 1. Let's do it. Let's actually study this psalm. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, or blameless in the way, those who walk in the what? In the law of the Lord. And just a few statements, a little bit of commentary on all 16 of these introductory verses. First one here, make no mistake about it. There is always a blessing associated with reading God's Word. And really, I say this, you've probably heard me say this enough times from the pulpit, if you've been here long enough. I say this, casually read through the Gospels, right? Like, I'm not saying diligently study every single word. You should study the Bible thoroughly, rigorously, etc. But just even the casual reading of it, there's always a blessing associated with reading God's Word. Of course, there's a blessing, and we'll see this in more detail in just the next few verses here. There's always a blessing associated with knowing God's Word. And thirdly, there's always a blessing associated with applying God's Word. Again, so that I might keep. Blessed is the man who keeps. It's not here in this verse, but those as themes. Here it's just simple. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Or who are those? Those who walk in the law of the Lord. And also notice, just a quick note here, notice the use of that great biblical phrase, walk in the law. Quite a word picture, isn't it? I think this should be fairly obvious. What does this generate in your mind when you think walk? Motion, movement, progress, your course, your conduct of life. I mean, how about this? Where are you going? I'm going the way the Word is directing me to go. And blessed are those, the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And you'll find yourself far less defiled as you're walking in the law of the Lord. That's not a complicated pattern either. Notice verse 2, again, blessing. Blessed are those who what? Keep, live by, observe, obey His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. Man, I like that. Again, the blessing that's repeated, and the blessing associated with keeping, and then that those, that further the blessing is on those who seek. Little kids aren't great at hide and go seek. Little kids, the favorite thing, were like, okay, I'm going to hide, and little kids are like, can you find me? And you have to play it like, yeah, I don't see you at all. But that we would seek the Lord, and He's not hiding from you, by the way. But as you get to know Him through His Word, you're seeking Him. Again, if walking implies motion, seeking implies some kind of effort. And I love that little prepositional phrase that's tacked on to the end of that. Who seek Him. That's enough. But more specifically, this prepositional phrase, with the whole heart. Not just with the heart, but with the whole heart. It's a wonderful way to describe the seeking after God. I might suggest this. If there's impartial seeking or impartial keeping, you might expect to reap a harvest of partial blessing. If it's not your whole heart, you'll have a harvest. There'll be something, but it probably won't be as substantial as you would expect unless you seek Him with your whole heart. Just get after it. And again, Psalm 119 tells us, start in the Word of God. Notice verse 3, they also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. And again, not a complicated formula here. Tendencies to sin certainly diminish as we walk in His ways, right? Like, I'm walking with the Lord, here comes sin. Hey, Jeremy, would you like, I'm too busy walking with the Lord. It's like, actually, hey, sin, that's a great idea. Lord, I'm just going to take a time out for walking with you. Like, silly here, but if I'm walking with Him, I don't have time for those other things. The more time spent walking in His ways, the more time not spent in engaging in sinful activity. Look, it's a really practical psalm here. Verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts, specifically what? Diligently. Again, there's no half-heartedness to this. This diligence. Diligence in what? In obedience. Further, it's this diligence of recognition. Recognition of what? That He's commanded us to do so, to keep His precepts and to do so diligently. It's this recognition of His authority as provided for us in His Word. I mean, go back to Sunday mornings with Romans chapter 1 and just the tough study, and we're like halfway through that tough study. Like, Jeremy, do you believe that? Well, yeah, because the Bible. Like, that's what it says. And there's a standard, there's authority above us. Yeah, but culture, I don't care. That's the standard, that's the authority. He's commanded certain things, and we either believe it or we don't. And if you believe it, that you would take heed to those things. Notice the next two verses, kind of a couplet here. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Like, what a prayer that is. He's longing for that. And as that happens, then, verse 6, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Again, this just great desire of heart. And again, the purpose behind it, the recognition of blessing, the recognition of value and benefit from keeping, from walking with, from taking heed to, looking into all your commandments. That might be an important word there in verse 6. Would you agree? Which word? All. I just do a couple verses a day. Well, I'm glad you're doing something. You are starving yourself spiritually. Get into all of it. I'm always really worried, like on social media, like, here's my verse of the day. Good. Please tell me you're reading more than one verse of the Bible a day. Like, whatever it is. Anything. But keep reading. But all of it. All of it. There's that recognition of that. He says in verse 7, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When? When I learn your righteous judgments. This is sort of the main undertone of the entirety of the book of Psalms. What? Praise. We just read some of those titles, right? There was a Song of David, the Prayer of Moses, the Song of Asaph, like different kind of poetic literature that make up this one big book. And so much of this is, again, simply that. It's praise. It's praise. And our understanding of the Word, our understanding of who God is as revealed in the Word, let me put it to you like this, it gives birth to praise. When I realize who He is, I mean, what's the great hymn? It's not from the Psalms, but we sing this, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Like when I consider His ways, when I consider, when I'm thinking about who He is, I'm applying my mind, I can't help it. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. And throughout the book of Psalms, this is another just fascinating part of it. It's just so rich. 150 Psalms, it's so rich in just general theology. Like, what do we know about God? You're going to find a lot of it in the Psalms. And as the psalmist would consider who He is, they couldn't, but I praise You. And they're writing this down. They're recording psalms, poetry, because He's so amazing. And not just general theology. Again, I mentioned Psalm 118 and how rich that is in terms of what specifically? Who Messiah is? Messianic psalms? Yeah. And that births praise. I love it. I love how it said there. Again, verse 7. I will praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. Verse 8 says this, the last verse of this opening stanza, I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. I like that. And I love, again, the heart behind this. It's not that a study of God's Word should make you feel bad. I think there's certain churches like, man, it was a great message. Why? Because I felt terrible. That's not... Nor should it be like, man, I just feel great about myself. That might not be a good... Like, both might be good and both might not be, kind of. So it's not that you feel bad, but it should, a study of God's Word, among other things, help you to see who you are in light of who He is. And in particular, in this psalm, in light of His statutes, His judgments, His precepts, etc. It should cause us to say, man, how am I doing? And I imagine here this particular psalmist at the end of the verse, that's why he says it that way. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Like, the more I study Your Word, the more I realize, man, I'm kind of a wreck. Oh, wretched man that I am. Because I understand Your Word. Oh, don't forsake me utterly, Lord. The light of who He is reflects upon us and shows us our need. Verse 9, this next section says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Your Word. That's a great question and answer snippet of this psalm. I'll tell you, among the more applicable verses of the entire Bible, Psalm 119, verse 9, is intensely practical and intensely particular. Look at the wording of it, and I'm saying that, like, look at it. How can a what? A man? No. What's the adjective employed here? A young man. Describe this man. It's a young man. How can a young man cleanse his way? If God's Word can keep a young man in check, and if I can just say it, if God's Word can keep a young man and his lusts in check, what can it do for you? Right? Just the untamed passions of youth, especially young males. And my mind immediately goes back to the book of Genesis. I can't help but to think about, oh, the young man Joseph. And we are not told anything about the description of Potiphar's wife, but you've read the passage. I'll keep this in like PG terms here. She comes on pretty strong, right? to young Joseph. And what does he do? He runs out the door, right? Like, how can a young man run for the hills, right? Just get out of Dodge if you can get out of Dodge. But again, the specifics, the concept here, and that's why I was highlighting even the word keep or keeps, and you don't see it here in verse 9, but the concept of applying, but you do see this, by taking heed. That's not just a mental assent. How can I keep my way, you know, pure, cleanse my way? Just by thinking about it. No, by taking heed means you're doing something. There's action applied to it. It's wonderful. Verse 10. Again, with my half heart? No, my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments. Ooh, amen. And again, what a beautiful desire. These are the kind of things that you might put on your heart, or you might, verse 11, hide them in your heart. Oh, in fact, verse 11, Your Word I have hidden in my heart. And again, some of this is so practical in terms of wisdom. Notice again, what's the next word? That. Why? And what is he talking about? I think we can at least come to some conclusion that there's some concept of memorizing Scripture. You don't have to memorize the chapter and verse reference. You know, it's not like, oh, it doesn't count because I didn't say it exactly how it's said in the King James. Do you understand the thrust of a particular verse? Do you know where it's going? Well, your word I have hidden in my heart. That's where it's fascinating. It's not mind. It's kind of the depths of who you are. That, so that, the purpose behind it, that I might not sin. Another little phrase tagged at the end of that. Against you. Against you. Practical wisdom. And don't miss those little that's that provide that purpose throughout, not just this psalm, but throughout the Bible. Verse 12 says, again, blessing. That's not just blessed as the person who walks in the ways, but this is, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Again, it's that recognition. Teach me. I still have some learning to do. What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 3? I've not yet apprehended that for which I've been apprehended. I'm still running my race. I'm not there yet. I think you know, as I know for me, you know for you, when are you in trouble? When you're like, I'm good. I'm fine. You're probably not fine. Keep running. Keep going. I still have learning. And again, the recognition, as I said just a few moments ago, talking about this concept of going to the Lord for this, teach me your statutes, that we'd recognize the Lord is our great teacher. Oh, where is this in 1 John that we find the Holy Spirit is our teacher? Connect to Him through the Word. Verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Like, God, what have you said? I am saying those things. You see the connection there? And what is that? It's verbal. It's vocal. These are verbal declarations. It's not just inside my heart or my mind. It's like coming out of this person's mouth. Like, it's part of who he is, in and out. Verse 14, I have rejoiced, there it is, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Whoo! What a comparison that is. And I think the older I get, besides just being grumpy, but the older I get, and the older I get in walking with my Jesus, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you guys yet, June 14th, is that a week away? That's a week away. Will be my 30-year birthday walking with Jesus Christ. 30 years. Yeah, that's, please don't, I'm just a wretched sinner that called on His mercy. It's like, yay, Jesus for saving me. But the older I get with Him, walking with Him, and just older in life, again, this comparison, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Like, if someone were going to offer you a choice, would you like to have all the riches on the planet or a better understanding of God's Word? The older I get, I know the right answer is yes, of course, the Bible. That's the correct answer. But the older I get, like, no, it's really the correct answer. And then you look around you at, like, rich, rich people, and like, man, there's some miserable people that are delighting in nothing. And even if you're an absolute pauper, but you've got the Lord, man, I'll take it. And like this perspective that's applied to like the stuff of this side of eternity versus the stuff of eternity, I'll take that which passes away not, right? Like that's that which sticks through the ages. Verses 15 and 16, I will meditate, I mentioned this earlier, I will meditate on your precepts, and not just meditate, but also contemplate, or some of your translations might say it this way, look into, like a peer into. Look into your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. And again, I will not forget your word. And again, a couple of themes that I highlighted at the outset of our study here. To meditate. To ponder. And these are good potluck nights because it's almost to marinate. Like, just take it in and just let that stew for a while. And some of you are probably familiar with the concept of meditation, not like a weird Eastern meditation kind of thing, but like how this is often connected linguistically to cows. And this is really terrible, and maybe this is terrible for a potluck night too, but cows with their four stomachs, they'll chew the cud, swallow it, goes to stomach number one. Slight regurgitation. Chew the cud some more. They're getting some more nutrients. Stomach number two. And repeat a couple more times. Like, to marinate is get as much out of it. Like, I'm so sorry. It's a potluck night. That's right. But to marinate, just let it settle and simmer and stew. So, like, what else can I see in this? And look, we're just going through these 16 verses fairly quickly. And that's why I wanted to give you, like, an overarching kind of a feel for what's happening in this psalm on its own. Please read through these 16 verses a few times. And let them marinate. Do what he says here. I will meditate. Think about. This is not stop using your brain. It's start really putting your brain to work. Meditate on your precepts and contemplate. Think about. Look into your ways. I will delight myself. There that is again. Delight myself in your statutes, and more specifically than at the end of verse 16, the end of this second section. I will not forget your word. All of this, the mind, the will involved in this. And not just the mind and the will. Delight, like your soul, your spirit, your heart involved. Like, I love you emotionally even. And I love this. I can't forget this. I got to keep this. Another great word that I would just throw your way for verses 15 and 16. This speaks of a resolve. I will not forget it. It's this determined resolve, this flip it, resolute determination. I'm not going to forget it. And just, again, even casually read through those other 15 verses in front of it, and you start to see why. Because of what this does for me, because of what's promised in it, because of what God has done for me, because I recognize who He is, etc., etc. I can't forget this. This resolute determination. I have to take heed to this if I'm going to walk the right way. Church, enjoy this summer. Enjoy Psalm 119. Dig in. Contemplate. Meditate. We just have the one stomach, unfortunately, but put it to work. Put your brain to work. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Nothing next week, but then the following week we'll get back at it. Have a great night.